sneak up to this island, I could bring my little ghetto blaster. There's more to life than this. But then we'd have to rush back to the town's best baker to get the best bread of the morning. There's more to life than this.
Welcome, radio listeners. You're listening to Bound by Books, youth radio on WGXC 90.7 FM, Acreage, Catskill, Hudson, and beyond. Listener-supported radio for open ears. I'm Emily. I'm the director of the Hudson Area Library, and I'm from Hudson.
I'm Fatih. I'm 10 years old, and I'm also from Hudson.
I'm Jada, and it's summer here, but it's raining, which is fun, always, yeah.
Always fun. And we're here every week talking about books.
Books we love, books we hate, and bookish things.
And that's what we'll do today.
Yay!
Excited to hear what you all have been reading or writing, depending on what you want to share today. Why don't we start with Jada today?
So I recently found this book series that I forgot the name of, but I found it again. Well, I had forgot what it was called, but I remember now. It's the Charlie Thorne series, and it's about a teenage genius who works with some members of the CIA to find genius people's hidden artifacts and stuff and hidden things that they discovered. And it's really cool.
Cool. So it's by Stuart Gibbs.
Stuart Gibbs is one of the best authors ever.
He did the Spy School books, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So what were you saying?
I also love the Spy School books.
Yes, I know. That's why I know of him. But you were going to talk about one of the books?
Yeah, and in the first one, Charlie goes on a hunt with her half-brother who works for the CIA and another agent to track down Einstein's Pandora, which is this special thing that the genius discovered that probably could be worse for everyone. That's very destructive or something, because they didn't really hint at it in the book. But I think that was to prevent people from actually discovering it or like overturning it, or some geniuses doing something with it. So yeah, it's a very great book series, and if you like Stuart Gibbs, which you should because he's awesome, I recommend that book series.
And that's a middle grade story, like good for tweens or younger?
Yeah, but I think anyone could enjoy it.
Yeah, that's how books usually work. Well, glad you found a new series to enjoy. I wonder if that one is still in the works. Looks like there's one coming out, or maybe it's already out this year. Oh yeah, it's already come out. So perhaps they're still coming. The fourth book was released this year. How many have you read?
I think one, and then another, and then the sequel. I skipped over a book, but what I like about Stuart Gibbs' writing is it's kind of like, I compare it to a Marvel movie. Even though you miss some major plot points, it's kind of slowly revealed to you the main parts that you needed to know anyway. And if you really feel like you missed it, you can go back and watch it for the finer details.
So you can jump in.
Yeah.
That's handy. So that's, what does it say? Charlie Thorne and the Last Equation. Charlie Thorne and the Lost City. Charlie Thorne and the Curse of Cleopatra, and then the most recent one is Charlie Thorne and the Royal Society. Those are all by Stuart Gibbs. Are they illustrated or are they just text? Looks like they're just text. Did Spy School have pictures, Jada? I can't remember. I know there's a graphic novel
No,
version.
the main book didn't,
Oh, okay.
but the cover art is awesome and pretty sticking into what Stuart Gibbs usually does for cover art, the same as with the Charlie Thorne ones. You know, not giving any facial features, just the black outline of the person.
Yeah, that's why the cover makes it seem like it would have illustrations in it, but it does not. So, well, thanks for sharing. Fatia, what did you want to share today?
I want to share a book that I made. It's called The Last Day of School. One day, Selena was on her way to school, but then she saw some of her classmates talking about the last day of school. When she heard it, she was very happy. Selena had already gotten chips for the party, but she never knew that it was the last day of school. She was running so fast that she bumped into her teacher. She was afraid that she would get in big trouble, but the teacher wanted to show her a surprise. So the teacher ran after Selena. Selena was horrified. The teacher was running and running until the teacher told Selena that she wanted to show her something. Selena was sorry. The surprise was it's the last day of school. And that's the end. It's a very short book. But like I was excited for the last day of school, but I didn't know what would the last day of school be like, cause like last year I was absent on that day, so I just decided well, what would be my one of my guess.
Interesting. So now you can see if it matches your imagined last day of school when you get to that day.
Yeah.
That's cool. I don't remember what last days of school were like when I was a kid. I feel like there often wasn't much going on, but I can't remember what we did with ourselves. Like, did we just clean out our desks or, yeah, what do you do? I guess it depends also if you have like a school situation where you're like living out of a backpack and locker, or if you have a desk that has all your supplies in it, whether you'd actually have stuff to clean out. I remember being excited for summer, and that was kind of the overwhelming feeling of the day, was just being like so excited for summer. Summer's pretty fun.
Summer's like my second favorite season. My first is spring because of the lovely roses and flowers and trees.
Yeah, it's very pretty seeing everything come to life again after the winter, like all the
Winter's
sprouts
kind
and
of
flowers.
Autumn's my least favorite.
Autumn is?
Yeah.
I like the fall. I don't know. I like the weather
I
when
like
it's
autumn.
cooperative. Sometimes it's a rough fall,
I
but
like autumn like most of the time. Not like all the time, but sometimes.
yeah. There's something special about spring and summer though, because you have all of the like flowers growing, and you can grow like fruits and vegetables or get really local fruits and vegetables at a farmer's market. So that's really nice, having all that like the bounty of the season, you know. But you get some of that in the fall too, especially the early fall.
Yeah.
Cool. Thanks for sharing your story. I hope you have a really great last day of school.
I'm very excited for it.
I think Jada's done with school, right?
Yeah. Well,
Yeah,
technically, I still have one last assignment, but yeah, school's over.
We don't take off for the summer at the library. We have a lot of stuff going on. So you can go to hudsonarealibrary.org to find out what we're doing. We hope to see you there. So I have a couple books I could talk about. So one I introduced last week as a book that I was looking forward to, and I read it. So I can talk about it briefly. It's Detective Sweet Pea, The Case of the Golden Bone by Sarah Varon. And it's a cute middle grade graphic novel. I'd say it's kind of on the young side. It's like a very cute story. It's a world that's like populated by animals, and the main characters are dogs. There's also a turtle that's a pretty main character, some squirrels. But it's a mystery series, so Detective Sweet Pea becomes a detective in this book. At the start of the story, Sweet Pea is just a dog. And there's a museum in town, in the town of Parkville, that gets a visit from the Golden Chew Bone, which is this like really famous bone that dogs can chew on. It helps with their teeth. And so if they're having like toothaches, having the bone like helps clean their teeth and make them feel better. So all of the dogs are super excited for this bone to come. And it does arrive in town, and Sweet Pea and friends get a sneak peek of the bone. And then on the day when there's the big reveal of the bone and like a celebration around it, the coming back to Parkville, the museum curator or director opens up the box and sees that it is gone. The bone has been stolen. And so they know that Sweet Pea has a really good nose for sniffing things out and decides that Sweet Pea should be able to track down where the bone is. So Sweet Pea becomes a detective and, with the help of two new friends, goes around town interviewing people, trying to figure out what happened, sniffing around town. There's a lot of going through trash cans in this book. I didn't know dogs did that, but apparently in this world they do. They eat things out of the trash. But yeah, so it's a cute little story. It's the first in a series, so there will be more mysteries. I'm curious to see what comes next. I will not tell you who stole the bone. I figured it out. There were kind of like two primary suspects that I had, and one was pretty early on ruled out. So then I was like, oh, I think it's this other one. But it was fun. I had a good resolution. So that's Detective Sweet Pea, The Case of the Golden Bone by Sarah Varen, a middle grade graphic novel that's new out on shelves. And then last week we talked a bit about classics. I know Fatia had been reading Don Quixote, and Jada reads classics all the time. So after all that talk of classics last week, I decided to read one myself. So I picked up The Mysterious Affair at Stiles, which is an Agatha Christie mystery. It's the first Hercule Poirot mystery. He was one of her famous detectives. I forget how many Hercule Poirot books there were. I'm going to look that up. So let's see. He appears in 39 novels, two plays, and more than 50 short stories published between 1920 and 1975. So I've read some other Hercule Poirot mysteries, and I've seen some movie adaptations as well. He's a Belgian detective. He's got this cool mustache, and he's very good at solving mysteries. And so I picked up this one. Actually, it was just a random. I happened to have the audiobook available, and so I hadn't even read like what it was about. I was just like, I'll read this one. It's a famous one. And then I was like, oh, it's a Hercule Poirot one. Oh, and it's the first one that he was ever in. So that was cool getting to see how he was introduced. And it was a fun mystery. I wouldn't say it was my favorite Agatha Christie mystery, and I'm not sure if it would be as of much interest to young readers as some of the other ones that I've read, but it was an interesting story, and I always love a good mystery. So that was one of my reads from this past week. I also read The Wager by David Gran, which is a nautical historical nonfiction book. Let's see, the full title is The Wager, A Tale of Shipwreck, Mutiny, and Murder. And it follows a voyage that was taken by a British vessel known as the Wager that left England in 1740 on a secret mission during a war with Spain. And they eventually got shipwrecked, and it's about both like the voyage itself and all the different characters on board and how they survived and the different adventures they had along the way and how they ended up back in England, those who survived. But it's also looks at how the people who wrote about this, whether on the boat or people back home, wrote about the experiences and how that was framed and what is the sort of truth of what happened and and those experiences. So it was a really interesting book. Again, that's a book for adults, but I think especially teens that are interested in historical nonfiction work that has some adventure in it would find it interesting. And then my current book that I'm reading is also a book for adults, and I haven't finished it yet. And I usually don't suggest books for adults until I'm done, just to make sure it seems appropriate. On this show, that is for young readers. But I did some research on the book to see if it was considered a book appropriate for younger readers, and it seemed like a lot of people felt like that it was, not only that it was of interest and appropriateness for teens, but also potentially for younger readers like 10 or 12 and up. So I thought I could share a little bit about this book. And actually, I'll read the description for this one because I'm only a few chapters in at this point. So this is, did I even say the title yet? I'm reading The House in the Cerulean Sea by T.J. Clune, which is the first in the Cerulean Chronicles. And here's the description. A magical island, a dangerous task, a burning secret. Linus Baker leads a quiet, solitary life. At 40, he lives in a tiny house with a devious cat and his old records. As a caseworker at the department in charge of magical youth, he spends his days overseeing the well-being of children in government-sanctioned orphanages. When Linus is unexpectedly summoned by extremely upper management, he's given a curious and highly classified assignment: travel to Mercius Island Orphanage, where six dangerous children reside, a gnome, a sprite, a wyvern, I'm not sure how to pronounce that, an unidentifiable green blob, a were-Pomeranian, and the Antichrist.
Rare
Linus,
Pomeranian.
yeah, a were-Pomeranian.
You had
I
me
like
a
that
devious
that would,
cat, and then you kept me.
yeah, you weren't excited about the unidentifiable green blob? That's my
That
personal favorite.
just sounded weird, and then you followed it with Antichrist. I want to read that book.
Yeah, so here's the rest. Linus must set aside his fears and determine whether or not they're likely to bring about the end of days. But the children aren't the only secret the island keeps. Their caretaker is the charming and enigmatic Arthur Parnassus, who will do anything to keep his ward safe. As Arthur and Linus grow closer, long-held secrets are exposed, and Linus must make a choice: destroy a home or watch the world burn. An enchanting story masterfully told, The House in the Cerulean Sea is about the profound experience of discovering an unlikely family in an unexpected place and realizing that family is yours. So I'm at the part of the story where Linus has come to the island and he's starting to get to know his, I don't know what the word is, the young people on the island, and Parnassus as well. So far I really enjoy it. It's a very well written, interesting book, and I could see why young readers would enjoy it as well. It actually, to me, it kind of reads in a way like a young adult fantasy book. I don't know why. Maybe it's just because a lot of the characters are younger, but I guess it's from the perspective of a 40-year-old, so maybe that's why it was considered an adult book. I'm never sure how they make those decisions on like who is the intended audience. But yeah, so I'm excited to keep reading that. It's been on my list for a while. I've heard really good things about the author, T.J. Clune. And yeah, excited to keep reading it. And I like the audiobook so far. And actually, I listened to the audiobook for The Wager as well, and to The Mysterious Affair at Styles. The Mysterious Affair at Styles, as here or there on the narration, I really love the narrator or the reader for The Wager. It's Dion Graham, who's narrated a bunch of books that I've loved in the past. He did a great job. And I really like the reader for Cerulean Sea, except they say gazebo as gazebo, and I'm not sure if that's like a place-based thing, like if wherever this book is set, that's how it would be pronounced, but they don't have an accent or anything, so I'm very confused by it. They've said the word gazebo many times as gazebo.
Yeah, but I
So
really want to read that book with the goo and the
The
devious cat and the were-Pomeranian. Sounds epic.
Yeah, I hope to keep enjoying it. So on that note, we're out of time for today, but we hope everyone out there listening has a great week with lots of quality reading time. And we'll be back next week to talk about some more books. Until then.
Happy reading.